Hey, good evening, everybody. How are you? Good, okay. Hey, if you brought a Bible tonight, I'd like you to open it to the book of Romans in the New Testament, chapter 14. We're going to be coming there in just a minute or two. But first, I want to tell you two stories that happened to me back in the 70s. I was living here in Washington, and I was working for a Christian organization, not this one. And Brenda and I had bought a home, and we were moving. And so we thought, well, we'll save a little bit of money, and we'll ask some friends from that organization to come over and help us move. And so they did, and everything was going along fine. Everything was going, you know. And we went to the living room. We started to move the living room furniture. And one of the guys who had come over from this Christian organization, worked for it, took the drawer out of the little end table before he moved it. And in the drawer was this brand new, bright red, still in the cellophane pack of playing cards. Well, you would think the guy had found 75 pounds of cocaine in my drawer. He went absolutely nuclear. He told me, I was a disgrace to God. I was a disgrace to the organization I worked for. God was never going to use my life, and just went on and on and on until finally I picked up the cards. I walked over to the trash can, opened the trash can, threw the cards in the trash can. That calmed him down a little bit. We finished moving. But you know what? Even though he calmed down a little bit, for years after that, when we would see each other in the hallway, the man never had a whole lot to say to me again. Now, that's tragic, over a deck of playing cards. And yet, you know what I've learned over the last 32 years of being a Christian is that the meanest, the nastiest, the most emotional fights that followers of Christ have center around these areas we call gray areas in the Christian life. We want to talk about them tonight as we continue our series called Our Freedom in Christ. And we want to find out tonight, how could two people who both love the Lord, like this man and I, end up on such ends of the spectrum on something like playing cards with so much emotion involved in it that it splits up a friendship and makes us pretty much, just not really friends the rest of our lives. How does that happen? How do we get like that? We're going to talk about that this evening as well as some other things. But before we do that, let's go back and review, because some of you guys haven't been here for all of this. So let's review just a little bit. Romans chapter 5 verse 2 says that through faith in Jesus Christ, we have gained access into this gracious position in which we now stand. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a gracious position in relationship to Almighty God. And that gracious position is that when you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, God made you His child in a way that the rest of the human race is not His child. And as God's child, your relationship, my relationship with Almighty God, is not based on human performance anymore, but rather it's based upon grace, God's undeserved mercy that He showers upon you and me as His children, which is why Romans 6 verse 14 says that we as followers of Christ are not under the law. We are not under any kind of system of human performance. We are under grace. Now, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your real and personal Savior, you know, God would like nothing more than to give you this gracious position in terms of your relationship with Him. God's in the business of handing out this gracious position to every human being who's willing to come and accept it on God's terms. And what are God's terms? God's terms are the only way we get a gracious position like this is through our relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's the only way we get to be a child of God. And so if you're here tonight and you'd love to have a relationship with God where human performance is no longer the basis at all, then friends, the way you get it is by giving your life and your heart to Jesus Christ. And God gives you a gracious position just as part of the deal. I hope you'll think about that. Well, for those of us who've done that, who've trusted Christ, we're in this gracious position with God. And as God's child, the Bible teaches, we saw this 2 weeks ago, that I have liberty, that I have freedom to do anything I want without it endangering the bond that exists between me and my Heavenly Father. This Christian liberty of ours involves every area of our life. We said that everything we do falls into one of two categories in life. The first category are black and white issues is what we call them. These are those things to which the Bible explicitly speaks, for which there's a thou shalt and a thou shalt not. And we said our Christian liberty applies to these areas. Now, as sad as it makes God, and it does make him sad, you and I are free to do everything in the Bible God said thou shalt not do if we want to. And it will not affect God's love for us. It will not affect our eternal life at all. We are free in Christ. They say, well, what are some of these kind of issues that you're talking about? Well, for example, adultery, lying, stealing, pornography, premarital sexual activity, homosexuality, abortion, non-biblical divorce, slander, gossip, cheating in school, unethical behavior in business. These are all things that God speaks to very explicitly in the Bible. And yet, you and I are free, if we want to do those things without it endangering our bond with Christ. However, last week, and this is where we'll stop our review, last week we said that there are five reasons why God tells us we shouldn't do these things, why we should limit our liberty in these areas. And we centered all five of these principles around the verse in the Bible that says, all things may be lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. Friends, these black and white things that God tells us to stay away from, are we free to do them? Yes. Is it profitable to do them? No. And we gave you five reasons why. Now, we want to move on from that tonight to the other area in which any contemplated action you have falls into if it's not a black and white area. And that is, we're calling that the gray areas of the Christian life. These are the areas of everyday life to which the Bible does not explicitly speak, for which there's no thou shalt and there's no thou shalt not anywhere in the Bible. You say, well, for example, what are some of these areas? Well, how about playing cards, playing the slot machines in Las Vegas, buying lottery tickets, going to the movies, dancing, trick-or-treating on Halloween, listening to secular music, wearing short skirts, going to the mall on Sunday, drinking a beer, smoking a cigar, getting a tattoo, dyeing your hair purple, getting a nose ring, earrings, studs, one-piece bathing suits versus two-piece bathing suits. Now, I got to tell you on this last one, this is one I have a very strong conviction about, which is why you will never, ever see me wearing anything but a one-piece bathing suit. I have a very strong conviction about this. But the point of all this is very simple, and that is there are a scad of things in life, everyday life, to which the Bible simply doesn't speak. How are we supposed to know what convictions we should have? And why is it that people come up with such radically different convictions if we're all following the same God? How does that happen? Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, here in Romans 14, this is what this chapter is all about. This chapter is all about the gray areas in the Christian life. And Romans 14 starts off by saying this, verse 1. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Disputable matters, gray areas, areas where there is room for dispute. There's no thou shalt or thou shalt not. And there are two main characters in this chapter. The first one is right here in verse 1. We're going to call him the weak brother or the weak sister. The other one appears in chapter 15, verse 1, and is called the strong brother or the strong sister. And understanding everything that God has to say in the Bible about gray area behavior is based upon understanding the difference between weak brothers and sisters and strong brothers and sisters. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But first, let's make sure we understand what it is that's the gray area in this chapter that's giving them the trouble. Verse 2 says, one man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. We know from comparing 1 Corinthians 8 through 10, which is a similar passage talking about a similar issue, comparing scripture with scripture, we know what the issue is here. In the days of the Apostle Paul, if you wanted to buy a steak, you wanted to buy a filet mignon or a T-bone, what you did is you went out in the open meat market and there was just an animal carcass hanging there and you pointed and say, I want this or I want that, or schwack me off a leg, and that's what they did. Well, you can still do that. If you go to the Middle East today, there are still open air markets like that, that's how they do it. Now, the problem is, in the days of Paul, that the meat that came into that market came from two different sources. Source number one was a slaughterhouse, just like today. You know, they take the animal, they slaughter it, and they send it to be sold. But also in Paul's day, there was a lot of animal use in idol worship. And they would take animals into these idol temples, they would sacrifice the animal, they would use its brains and its entrails and various parts of its organs for idol worship, but the carcass, they really didn't have any use for the carcass, so they would sell the carcass and it would go out into the meat market to be hung up and sold for steaks just like everything else. The problem is, when you went into the meat market looking to buy a T-bone, you couldn't tell whether a carcass had come out of an idol's temple or whether it came from a slaughterhouse. They didn't have little signs on it, you know, idol's temple, slaughterhouse. No. You didn't know. Well, this is the problem. There were some believers who were fine with this and said, well, what difference does it make? And there were others who said, whoa, wait a minute. I don't want to buy something that came out of an idol's temple. I don't want to eat a piece of meat that was involved in idol worship. I don't really feel good about that. And that's exactly what the issue is here. Now, on this issue, there's no thou shalt or thou shalt not anywhere in the Bible. And so the issue is, do I just refrain from eating all meat so by accident I don't eat something sacrificed to an idol? Or is it okay to eat it even if it came out of an idol's temple? Now, let's look. We're going to define strong brothers and weak brothers, strong sisters and weak sisters. Let's look and see what the strong brother or sister would say. Chapter 14, verse 14. Here's the strong brother speaking. As one who is in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean of itself. 1 Corinthians 10, 25, Paul writes, eat anything in the meat market without worrying where it came from, because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Psalm 24. Paul says, hey, I'm a strong brother about this. As far as I'm concerned, every T-bone in the universe is from Almighty God. And as long as I receive it that way, as long as I thank God for it, what difference does it make where it went before it got to me? Who cares? This is a strong brother speaking. 1 Timothy chapter 4. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving to God. So let's define. What is a strong brother or a strong sister? They are a person who has a strong grasp on the freedom that they have in Jesus Christ. They have a strong grasp on the freedom they have in Christ. This is a person who understands their union with Christ, their unconditional relationship with Jesus, their liberty God has given them. This is a person who understands that as long as they thank God for whatever it is they use in God's creation, as long as they don't misuse God's creation, they're free to enjoy anything and everything in the creation and to do it without guilt. This is a person who also understands that spirituality is not based on what we do or what we don't do. It's not based on what we eat or what we don't eat. It's based on where our heart is in its relationship with Almighty God. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. Paul says, food doesn't bring us closer to God, for we are no better if we don't eat, and we're no worse if we do eat. Hey, food never made anybody spiritual. Eating it doesn't make you unspiritual. It's not about food. Spirituality is about our heart. And I understand that. This is a strong brother. Now, the strong brother can play gin rummy with a bunch of Christian friends, even though that they know that Las Vegas uses cards to ruin people's lives, because the attitude of the strong brother is, hey, these are just little pieces of paper with numbers on them. And as long as I don't use them to take advantage of people and ruin people's lives, well, what do I care what Las Vegas does? I'm not Las Vegas. I'm just playing cards and having some fun with my friends. A strong brother can walk into Blockbuster and rent a PG movie, even though he knows that there are hardcore R-rated movies in there. His attitude is, hey, as long as I don't rent one of those movies, what difference does it make if I walk in here where other people rent them? I'm not renting them. I can go in here and rent a PG movie and it's fine. A strong brother or sister can dance with their wife or their girlfriend, with their boyfriend or their husband. A strong brother or sister can have a glass of wine at dinner. They can have a champagne toast at a wedding. They can sit down and have a beer and a cigar with their friends while they're watching a football game. And they're like, well, you know, the Bible never says anything about it. I feel perfectly free to do this. They can listen to HFS, oldies music, country music, smooth jazz. Oh, yeah. Because their attitude is, guess what? God made the harmonic scale, and he didn't make it evil, some of it evil, and some of it good. Music is music. And as long as the lyrics don't dishonor God, what difference does it make? I can enjoy all kinds of music. A strong sister can wear a two-piece bathing suit at the beach, even though somebody in Victoria's Secret catalog wore the same bikini. She can say, you know what? Long as I don't go do some of the things those bottles probably do, what difference does it make if they wore the same bikini I'm wearing? She can shop on Sunday and not feel the slightest guilt about it. She might feel guilt what she spent, but she won't feel guilty about shopping. Because in her understanding as a strong sister, she says, you know what? Every day is the Lord's day. Sunday's not the only day that's the Lord's day. Every day is the Lord's day. If I can shop on Monday, why can't I shop on Sunday? It's all the Lord's time. These are strong brothers and sisters. They understand their freedom in Christ. And they have the liberty of conscience to exercise their freedom in Christ in various areas of the Christian life. There's a wonderful true story told about Charles Spurgeon. I don't know if y'all know who Charles Spurgeon was. Some of you do. Charles Spurgeon, wonderful preacher of the 19th century, was the pastor of the London Tabernacle. Huge church right in downtown London. Very evangelical man, very godly man. Well, anyway, there was a tavern right by the church that was legendary for its drunkenness and its parties and its immorality. And so there were some friends of Spurgeon one day who were talking, and they got into an argument about whether or not Pastor Spurgeon would accept money if it were offered to him by this tavern owner. So they went to the tavern owner and they said, hey, we got a wager going here. Would you cooperate with us? If we give you some money, will you try to give it to Reverend Spurgeon when he walks by on his way to lunch? He walked by every day. And the tavern owner said, sure, whatever. And so they all wagered whether he'd take the money. So here comes Spurgeon one day, tavern owner comes out, and he says, Reverend Spurgeon, he said, you know, it's been a really good year for the tavern, made a lot of money this year, and I just thought I'd like to take some of that money, and I'd like to give it to you for the support of the church. Here it is. And he stuck it out. Charles Spurgeon didn't even hesitate. Grabbed the money right out of his hand and said, it's about time that the devil began giving to God. That's all he said, and walked on. Now, here was a strong brother who said, hey, guess what? The earth is the Lord's and every dollar in it. And if God sends it to me through this tavern owner, what do I care? I'll thank God for it and I'll take it. Friends, just let me tell you, in this area, I am a strong brother. You win the Powerball. You come see me. I will take your money. I will take your money. All right. You bring it. I'll take it and say thank you, God, for the Powerball. Because it's all God's money, right? Now, what about the weak brother or sister? Well, the weak brother or sister, remember now, is not weak when it comes to their faith. That's not what we're talking about. It doesn't mean that this person is weak when it comes to their dedication to God. That's not the issue. The issue is their freedom in Christ and how free they are to live that freedom out in one area or another area. Whether or not they have freedom of conscience in one area or another to live out that freedom. And here's what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 7. Not everyone has the same knowledge as the strong brother. Some people simply cannot eat marketplace meat without worrying about the fact that it was sacrificed to an idol. The weak brother or sister goes into the marketplace and they say, you know what? Man, I just cannot get over the feeling that somehow that meat that came out of the idol's temple is innately defiled. What's more, I can't get over the feeling that if I were to eat it, I somehow would be innately defiled. What's more, if I eat it and I buy it here in the marketplace, what am I really doing? I'm just supporting the idolatry industry by buying this food. If nobody bought the food, maybe they'd go broke. And so that person says, you know what? If I were to buy this food and eat it and later find out it came out of an idol's temple, I would feel so guilty, so wrong before God, I'd have to confess it as sin. It would be wrong for me. Well, the truth is, If their conscience is working on them like that, it would be wrong for them to do this. Listen to what the Bible says, Romans 14, verse 14. If someone considers something to be unclean in his heart, then for him it is unclean. Verse 23, for whatever is not of faith is sin. In other words, whatever you and I as followers of Christ can't do with absolute confidence and faith that we're doing the right thing, the clean thing, the pure thing, then for us, our conscience says it's wrong, and for us to do it, it would be wrong. You know, some other Christian may be able to do it and not have the slightest conscience pang about it, but you can't. And here's what I want us to understand. Here's the critical point for you to get tonight. Two followers of Jesus Christ can do the very same gray matter thing, whatever it is, cards, drinking, smoking, whatever. One of them can walk away from it and never think about it again, be completely comfortable with what they did. And the other person can walk away from it and feel so guilty, feel like they violated their conscience so much, feel like they let God down so much that they have to go home and they have to confess it to God as being wrong. Do you understand that? Now, a weak brother or sister, if they're weak in the areas of movies, they can't go into a movie theater. Even to see Bambi, they can't go into a movie theater. Because in their mind, they're supporting the evil industry of making films, and they just feel totally wrong about it. I know followers of Jesus Christ who, since they became Christians, have never, ever walked into a movie theater to see anything. Because they just don't have any freedom of conscience to do that. If you're a weak brother or sister in the area of alcohol, you just cannot have an alcoholic beverage. Even a toast at a wedding bothers you. You're going to have sparkling cider or nothing, but you just can't do it. It's just wrong for you. If you're a weak brother or sister in the area of dancing, man, you can't even dance at a wedding reception to Glenn Miller. You understand what I'm saying? It bothers you. If you're a weak brother when it comes to music, you can't listen to smooth jazz or HFS or anything. It's got to be Christian music. If you're a weak sister when it comes to the area of shopping on Sunday, you just cannot go into a mall. You just feel it's wrong, and you just can't do it. You'd feel guilty about anything that you bought that day. And God help you if you're a weak brother or sister. If you ever smoked a cigar, God help you what would happen in your heart and life. Now, this is the weak brother, the weak sister. They are just as valuable in the sight of God as the strong brother. They are just as precious in the sight of Christ as the strong sister. They have just as much eternal life, and they're just as much on their way to heaven as the strong brother and sister. It's just these are people who either, number one, don't understand the incredible liberty that they have in Jesus Christ, or number two, even if they understand it in their head, the Holy Spirit is giving them no freedom in their conscience to live it out in this area, that area, or the other area. Y'all, are we all clear? Do we all understand what we're talking about here? Everybody with me? And just remember, nobody is 100% strong or 100% weak. We're all a combination. You may be a person who is a strong brother or sister when it comes to dancing, drinking, smoking, playing cards, going to movies. But man, when it comes to buying a lottery ticket, you just are, that is just wrong to buy a lottery ticket. It is just wrong to buy a lottery ticket. And anybody who does it is wrong. Because you're a weak brother or sister in that area. Now, we're going to talk more next week about how to get along with each other when we're weak brothers and sisters. Because it's not easy. But this week, what I want to do before we finish is answer two more questions. Question number one is, well, if I'm a weak brother or sister in some area, how did I get to be that way? I mean, who did this to me? How did I end up like this? Well, let's answer that question. There's one of three factors, and maybe all three of them are in play in your life, as to how you got to be this way in this area, whether it's movies or drinking or dancing or smoking or tattoos or whatever, okay? Number one, force number one that can make somebody a weak brother or sister is our upbringing, our parents, our home life, the church we went to as a child, even the location where we were raised. Listen, friends, if you were raised going to a legalistic Baptist church in rural Georgia, and you had a preacher every single week who stood up and just railed against one gray area after another, You know, every week he taught that Christians don't smoke or cuss or drink or chew or hang around with them which do. If that's what you heard every single week growing up as a Christian, and if you had parents who were wonderful followers of Christ, but they were weak in just about every area, they couldn't do squat without feeling bad about it, then I guarantee you, you're going to have a lot more weak areas when it comes to these gray areas of your Christian life than somebody raised by non-Christian parents in Southern California who came to Christ as a senior at Berkeley. You understand what I'm saying? It's going to be different for you. How we're raised has an enormous amount to do with where we are on these things. The second force is our early Christian training. I mean, who was your mentor in your early Christian life? Who was the pastor that you grew up under in your early Christian life? Who were the people around you that were helping to influence you and form your personal outlook and convictions on different areas of the Christian life? I mean, if you had a mentor who was a fundamentalist preacher in Oklahoma, you're going to have a very different outlook on things than if you were mentored by Chuck Swindoll, if you understand what I'm saying. It's going to be different. And finally, force number three is our background, our lifestyle, before we became a follower of Christ. Friends, the areas of life where you and I had strong, ungodly behavior before we became followers of Christ are almost always, you can almost take this as a given, going to be areas that when you come to Christ are going to be weak areas in your Christian experience. The Spirit of God is simply not going to give you the freedom to do some of those things that you were grossed out in before you came to Christ. And this is a blessing. God's trying to protect you from getting lured back into and entangled again in some of the things that destroyed your life. I mean, if you were deeply involved in gambling, you had a horrible gambling habit before you came to Christ, when you come to Christ, I can promise you, you are going to have zero freedom of conscience to play cards, slot machines, and buy lottery tickets. If you, before you came to Christ, were really an acid rock freak, when you come to Christ, you're not going to have the freedom to listen to a lot of acid rock music or any other kind of secular music. God's just not going to give you that freedom. This is dangerous for you. If you, before you came to Christ, were involved in the occult, you watch, God is not going to give you the freedom of conscience to go out on Halloween trick-or-treating or go see demonic movies. If you, as a young lady, had a real problem with promiscuity before you came to Christ, I can promise you, you're not going to have the freedom in Christ when you come to Him, to Christ, when you become a follower of Christ, to wear little skimpy two-piece bathing suits and little short little skirts. You're just not. And again, this is a blessing. This is a way of God buffering us and insulating us from some of the things that were dangerous to us before we were followers of Christ and are still dangerous after we're followers of Christ. So if you're a weak brother or sister in some area, I can guarantee you it's one, two, or all three of these forces working together. Last question, and that is, Lon, does anybody ever change? I mean, is it possible to change from a weak sister into a strong sister in some area, from a weak brother into a strong brother? I mean, what if 5 years ago, when I came to Christ, I didn't feel comfortable having a beer? I didn't feel comfortable smoking a cigar. I didn't feel comfortable listening to secular music. I didn't feel comfortable going out and dancing. And now, I feel comfortable doing them all. What's wrong with me? Am I backsliding? Am I going liberal? I mean, you know, should I be afraid to tell anybody because they won't let me come to church anymore? What's happening to me? Well, the answer is that nothing necessarily wrong is happening to you. It's very common, friends, for us to start off in our Christian experience having no freedom of conscience in some area, being a really weak brother or sister, and as time goes on, not in every case, but it's not uncommon for God to relax that in our life, so we begin to feel more freedom. And the reason for that is twofold. Either number one, sometimes the reason that we're weak brothers and sisters, remember, is the way we were raised. We didn't even know. We didn't even know there was freedom in Christ. Nobody ever told us that. I wasn't raised in a church that told me that. And then we move. We come to a church like McLean Bible Church. And we have some guy sitting up here telling you this. And you're going, wait a minute. And you go check it out and find out we're right. And you go, holy smokes. You mean I've been living all this time not even knowing I had freedom in Christ? And all these wonderful other people who are followers of Christ, they feel it's okay to do these things and it doesn't ruin their walk with God? Gosh, you know, maybe there's some things I feel is okay to do now that I know that I've got freedom in Christ. That happens all the time. The other reason why sometimes people go from weak to strong is because as we mature in our walk with God, things that used to be a threat to us suddenly aren't threats anymore. As we grow deeper in our walk with God and as we grow deeper in our commitment to the Lordship of Christ, as we put more and more distance between our lives now and where we used to be, God many times will relax the restrictions He put on our conscience at the beginning because they're not as much of a threat. You know, this is true of me. When I came to Christ 32 years ago, I had been grossed out in everything you can imagine. Drugs, yes. Alcohol, yes. Gambling, yes. Women, yes. Want to keep going? We can keep going all night. I did them all. And they were all done in an ungodly way. And so when I first came to Christ, the Spirit of God gave me the freedom of conscience to do nothing. Nothing at all. I mean it. Nothing. I could stand here basically at attention, but beyond that, I didn't have a whole lot of freedom to do anything. And you know why? Because just about everything I did was dangerous for me. I'd done it all. Now, years later, 32 years later, a lot of those things, they're just no longer threats anymore like they used to be when I first came to Christ. And now I'm finding that I've got an amazing ability to go back and do many of those things that I never felt comfortable doing 32 years ago. Not drugs, I just want to say that. Because I'm liable to get a sound bite out of this and one of you guys is going to set me up. Not drugs. But you know what? A lot of these other things I felt no freedom to do 30 years ago, I feel fine doing now. They're just not a threat anymore like they were. And maybe when you first came to Christ, there were things that were really dangerous for you to be involved in, and God just put a clamp on your conscience and said, oh, no, you don't. But maybe you've been a believer now 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and suddenly they're not a danger anymore. God may be relaxing that clamp, and if He does, it's perfectly normal. Well, the point of that is don't cast yourself too rigidly, friends. Don't say, I'm a weak brother here. I'm always going to be a weak brother here. No, you may not. You may not. You may change. Now, next week, let me tell you as we conclude what we want to talk about. We want to talk about how do we get along with people who are weak and strong. I mean, how do weak and strong brothers relate to one another in areas where they passionately disagree? Question number one. I mean, if you are the chairman of the board of elders of a church and you have a very strong conviction against playing cards, and you walk into church one day and there's the youth pastor playing poker with all the teenagers, what do you do? And God help him, where does the youth pastor look first for another job? You know, this is a question we need to answer. How do we react to that? Question number two is there ever a time when God calls on strong believers, brothers and sisters, to limit their liberty? When and how and why? Okay, so let's say I'm a strong believer when it comes to a lot of areas. Does that mean automatically I ought to go out and exercise all my liberties? Or are there some guidelines in the Bible to maintain the harmony and the unity and the protection of other people in the body of Christ where I ought to voluntarily limit my liberty even though I've got it? That for the sake of other people. We're going to talk about that next week. And finally, question number three, why doesn't Lon just tell us what is right and wrong and we'll do it? No, we're not doing it that way. I want you guys to grow up into mature followers of Jesus Christ. And the only way to do that is not for some preacher to tell you what you ought to believe and then you mouth it back and go, this is what I believe. No. That's the way to produce a bunch of automatons, not a bunch of mature followers of Christ. What we want to help you do is understand what are God's principles in these areas. Then you can take them, you can develop your own convictions, you can follow God as He tells you what you're free to do and what you're not free to do. And most importantly of all, we're going to teach you how to get along with one another so no matter what your convictions are, we're going to talk about it next week, no matter what your convictions are, you know how to carry those convictions in a way that you don't bust up the body of Christ. Christ, split up friendships like me and my friend at the beginning, and ruin the work of God. There's a way to do that, and that's what we're going to talk about next week. So thanks for being here. Hope you'll come back. Remember what we said. Football game has four quarters. The game's not over till they're all played. This series has four messages. You need to hear them all to get the real balance here so you don't go charging off with just a half truth, okay? You need to hear what we're going to say next week. We'll look forward to seeing you. Let's pray. Thank you, but let's pray. All right. Lord Jesus, thanks for giving us the freedom here to teach the truth. We know there's a lot of churches who won't touch this subject with a 10-foot pole. And Lord, that's bad, because these are issues we all grapple with. And we want to know, why do we believe what we believe? And how did we get to be the way we are? And how do we get along with each other when we don't agree on some of these things? These are important topics, God. Thank you for giving us the kind of church where we can talk openly from the Word of God about these things without fear that some sacred cow is going to rise up and throw us all out of here. Thank you for a church where we can teach truth. And whatever truth is, we can teach it with integrity from the Word of God. Now I pray that you would help every one of these young people here to really get an understanding of what we've talked about tonight, to understand why they have some of the convictions they do, and why other people have some of the convictions that other people do. And Lord, to be able, as a result of all of this, to get along with one another, that's what we pray. To be unified in accomplishing the larger mission we have in this town, which is not to fight over gray matters, but it's to reach people for Jesus Christ. So use this series, I pray, to educate us, to challenge us, and Lord, to motivate us spiritually. And we thank you for being here and letting us talk from the Word of God tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.